Well, tonight I want to share with you a phrase, if you will, that we're all familiar with. We've heard it in the Bible, and we actually heard it in the manifestations as well. And I thought it'd be interesting to look at this and see its significance, how it's used, and what a blessing it is as we can understand it and appreciate it. And that is that phrase, face-to-face. What does that mean, face-to-face? I mean, literally, you think about face-to-face, nose-to-nose, you know? But it's certainly an intimate connection that is being communicated. And I think one way to... at least what I thought about in describing being face to face with something is an experience I had while I was doing training in the Marine Corps. And this is kind of on the negative side, but we'll obviously look at the positive side with our relationship with God. But when I was going through basic training in the Marine Corps, one of the things we did at the latter part of the training cycle was a two-day event where we did all kinds of stuff. We did long hikes, we climbed up mountains, we forded through rivers, they had ropes over rivers, and we'd had to, you know, shimmy on down the rope, and that's the only thing we had to get to the other side, and all kinds of very challenging events. You know, they had this mud field with barbed wire over it, and you had to crawl under the barbed wire and through the mud, and they would shoot, you know, different ammunition. They were blanks, but they would, you know, shoot guns and all kinds of things around you, and it was very challenging. But I felt I was in great shape. I did very well, but there was one event kind of right at the end that I was not looking forward to. And I heard some stories about this thing. And it was, what you had to do was, you're crawling on the ground and you come upon this big culvert, like a giant pipe. You know what I mean by a culvert? Mm-hmm. I don't know how wide it is, maybe 2 feet, not that wide. And so you got to kind of crawl on your stomach, you got your rifle with you, crawl into the pipe for 30, 40 feet, and then come out the other end. Well, these pipes are really tight. I'm pretty broad-shouldered, and some of the big guys really had problems with that. And I'm kind of claustrophobic to begin with, and I was trying to fit myself in this pipe. I couldn't get in there. And you know, it was quite a challenge. They said in past times, some of the drill instructors would put a snake at the end of it. Not a poisonous snake, but put a snake in there just to mess with you a little bit. And or if you're crawling through and if you don't have hold of your rifle, they grab it. And if they take it away from you, you got to go around and do it all over again. So, for me, I had to come face to face with my fears. So, this is an illustration of coming face to face in a negative sense, but there it was. Was I going to chicken out, or was I going to go through it? So, I finally was able to wiggle myself in there, and I would kind of scrunch through there. And thankfully, no snakes. They didn't grab my rifle, and I made it through. And boy, did I feel very, very good. I felt like I'd conquered the world, you know. And I came face to face with my fears. And it's interesting when you look at this usage of words face to face, how it's used in the Bible here. And Moses, Jeannie reminded me of this, Moses had a relationship with God, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what did the Bible say that relationship was?
Face to face.
Face to face, wasn't it? So Moses had a relationship with God almost second to none, because he walked and talked with God, and as a friend would, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that face to face really indicates a real intimate connection with somebody. And there's a wonderful situation where this is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, you know, when you mention chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, most people think of the love of God, because that's what it talks about in the first part. But there's another subject that comes into play a little later on in that chapter. And so 1 Corinthians 13:10. But, this is a King James, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, what do you think it's talking about, but when that which is perfect is come?
Return.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, right? He's the perfect one. And then that which is in part shall be done away. So the things that are maybe we're using now won't be needed. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, a lot of people use this verse to brag about their maturity from being a young person to an adult. In fact, I remember my college roommate shared this verse with me, and this was before I even got into the Word, and I thought that was pretty cool. You know, he said, I'm maturing, I'm coming to college, and I'm going to become a man. But I don't think that's what it's really referring to, if we see the context here. Verse 12 says, For now we see through a glass, how?
Darkly.
Darkly. Now this word darkly, let's take a look at it in a little more detail here. And in the Greek, with the pronunciation, what would be, a literal pronunciation of the Greek letters for us is enigma. So what do you think, what English word do you think we get from this? Enigma. Yeah, now what's an enigma? It's a mystery, it's a riddle, not easy to understand, something along that line. So we see through a glass darkly. We don't know how things are going on. We don't see things as clear as perhaps we would like. But, the verse goes on, but then, what?
Face
to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. So this is all talking about Christ coming back. He is the perfect one. You know, and we are children, we're immature, but when he comes back, we're going to have mature things. We will be a man, spiritually speaking. Now, this verse 12 in the ESV translation, I think, helps make it a little better understood. So I'm going to share with you the ESV. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Okay? We have been known. God knows us. He has blessed us. He has given us his Spirit. We have eternal life, right? We are complete in him. And so, you know, these are times maybe we don't understand. We just can't fully comprehend what's going on so much. But when he comes back face to face, we're going to be fully known. The Amplified Bible, I think, really hits it very well. And I want to share the Amplified Bible verse 12. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, enigma. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Mm-hmm. Now I know in part, just as in fragments, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. And you and I have been very blessed if we're born again of God's Spirit. We have Christ in us. We are complete in Him, right? There's not any more we can get. We fully identify with Him. And we have a wonderful walk with our Heavenly Father. And yet, you know, there's things that we just are hard to get sometimes, to fully understand what's happening. But there's going to be a time when Christ comes back, and we'll see Him how, face to face. And He's going to take care of us. We're going to know as even as we are known by Him. He knows us. He knows each and every one of us. We're going to be in eternity with Him. And what a great expectation we can have that when He comes back, we shall be with Him. We shall see Him as He is, and we'll see Him face to face. Isn't that neat? You know, there's some, on a side note here, and I think about this too. What are we going to do now? Okay, He's coming back. He can come back tonight, later tonight, tomorrow, whatever. And with that knowledge, you know, we should have great joy in our hearts. We should have great excitement knowing that we can work for Him. We can do great things. We can walk out on the Word of God and see great things come to pass because we have Christ in us. And we have this great hope when Christ comes back that we'll be face to face with Him. And so that should be very motivating to us. And so, but again, I think about, all right, what am I going to do now? And I thought about some other verses in light of what we're talking about here. And so in Psalms 27, this is another usage of coming before His face or seeking His face. In Psalms 27, verse 4. In verse 4 it says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after." I wonder what that would be. Mm-hmm. What is that one thing He's asked of the Lord that He seeks after? "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." That's not a bad thing to look forward to, huh? Mm-hmm. To seek after. "That I may live, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face." You know, God's encouragement to seek His face. "My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." You know, we want to seek God's face. We want to have that wonderful relationship with our Heavenly Father, where we're face-to-face with Him, day in and day out. You know, recognize our presence before Him. Now, where do we have to go to talk to God, to be face-to-face with Him, to seek His face? How far do we need to go?
Not very far.
Not very far.
Stand still.
Why? Yeah, because we're where are we at? The right hand of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're seated at his right hand. So with this kind of thinking, you know, we should have great joy, great sense of confidence and boldness in our lives, knowing that we can talk with our Heavenly Father. We can truly seek his face because he's right there. He is right there. Talks about in Hebrews, we can come boldly before his throne of what? Grace. Yeah. A couple other wonderful verses. I saw, this is 34:4. Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Wow, what a promise in God's word. Seek God, he hears, he delivers from all our fears. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. You know, we want to seek his face. You know, we want to go through our days not just thinking about what the news is proclaiming and or what other folks are talking about, but what about our fellowship with God Almighty, our Heavenly Father? Thinking about that. We're already at his right hand, and we want to seek his face, his presence. And think about him. And I don't know about you, but one thing that really helps me kind of put me in the groove of doing that is speaking in tongues. You know, because when I start speaking in tongues, okay, I'm thinking about God. And it really, really helps me do that. Verse 5, that 105, Psalm 105, verse 5 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. So why not? Why not? And for us as born-again ones, we can remember our identity in Christ and who we are. And remember these great realities as we live our days, knowing that any time, who are we going to see face to face?
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, our Lord and Savior. He's going to be right there. I don't know how he's going to do that. I mean, sometimes I think, okay, here he comes in the sky, and maybe I'm way over here, and I just see a little inkling of, but it says face to face, you know, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Big face.
But God knows what he's doing, and looking forward to that wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I hope tonight that you appreciate a little bit more of what's ahead for us as children of God, that we will be face to face with our Lord and Savior any moment, at any time, and that until that time, we can seek his face, our Heavenly Father, in all his goodness, and believe him. So I want you to think about that. And as you think about these great, wonderful realities, I'd like to close out with a song for you.
Behold him, far beyond the starry sky.
Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful love and grace in our lives, for making available to us this information, this knowledge that we know we have a great future ahead. And we're sure thankful that we have the hope of Christ's return at any moment, that we will be face to face with him. Thank you for calling us to your family, and that we can live a wonderful life before you here and now and for all eternity. And I pray for each and every person here, Father, that are part of this fellowship, that they see the realization of your wonderful love that you've extended toward all of us, all believers, that we can just rise up and go forth with great conviction in our hearts, knowing who we are and who has called us. So we love you, Father, and thank you for this time we've had together to fellowship and learn and grow. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.